The Netflix series Ozark recently dropped its very last episodes. After a lot of Emmy recognition and four seasons of the increasingly criminal Byrd family seen through moody blue filters, it's over. Did Wendy and Marty Byrd make it? Did young Ruth Langmore manage to get away from the life Marty and Wendy dragged her deeper and deeper into? We're talking about the end of Ozark today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today is NPR's TV critic, Eric Deggans. Welcome back, Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Eric, so much is up. So if you're not familiar with Ozark, it's a sort of neo-noir series, very similar in tone to Breaking Bad, very similar in lots of things to Breaking Bad. Jason Bateman and Laura Linney play Marty and Wendy Byrd, who came to the Ozarks and became money launderers for a massive drug operation. In that capacity, they came to know Ruth Langmore, a young woman played by Julia Garner, who became sort of Marty's protege, and then sometimes Marty and Wendy's enemy, and on as allegiances shifted. The first warning I want to give is that we are covering the finale in this episode. So if you're waiting to see it, or if you don't want to be spoiled, please go watch it and then come back. The final run of seven episodes that dropped on Friday is technically the second half of the fourth and final season. It begins as Ruth seeks revenge for the murder of her cousin Wyatt. Wyatt, who had become a small-time drug operator himself, was killed by cartel big shot Javi Elizondo. When we left her, Ruth was getting in her truck with her shotgun to look for Javi. I would not even try to summarize four seasons of plot that got us here. But suffice it to say that the Byrds are trying to finish up their work as money launderers, get out of town, and get a fresh start as rich philanthropists in Chicago. Their teenage kids, Charlotte and Jonah, have long known that Marty and Wendy are involved in various levels of crime. Jonah begins this season estranged from his mom and dad, his mom especially, because, and who can blame him, she had her own brother, Jonah's beloved uncle, killed to protect her life of crime. So,
whew.
With all that said, Eric.
Thanks, everybody. That's the end of the podcast.
Thanks, everybody. Bye. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So, Eric, have you liked Ozark up to this point? Have you been a fan of the show? What are your general Ozark feelings?
Yeah, I actually have been a fan of the show from the very first season. And, you know, I'm a sucker for shows about outlaws and about crime. And I'm a sucker for Jason Bateman and Laura Linney. And they stocked this show with so many great actors. You know, I wasn't aware of Julia Garner before this show, but of course she's amazing. And so many wonderful supporting actors. So for me, it got to the point where it was about watching the performances of the actors and, you know, just wanting to know how it ends. You know, where does this
yes.
go?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's increasingly sort of ridiculous, the things that they find themselves in. You can't try to make any sort of sense of the plot lines because there's holes you can drive a truck through, particularly in the final season and particularly in the finale. But it is about bonding with the characters. You know this. You know, a great show ultimately presents great characters that you bond with, and then you want to see what happens to them. Mm-hmm. And Ozark has done that masterfully.
Yeah. My thing with this show is I did the thing that I tell people not to do, which is I continued watching this show once I started watching it, which I actually didn't until the fourth season was about to come out. Once I started it, I stuck with it. I finished it. I continued with it because for exactly the reasons that you gave. One is, it is a pleasure to watch these good actors. I'm pretty underwhelmed by Jason Bateman in this, but I think Laura Linney and Julia Garner are both exceptional in it. I love those two performances. And particularly, once I got into it, I was like, I'm just going to watch to see what happens. I just want to know what happens. This is a show, unlike a lot of other shows, this is a show that frequently kills people in a way that kind of makes it's almost Game of Thronesy in the sense that every time you hear that something big happened, it's going to be that somebody died. So there's this thing of like, who lives, who dies? Right. When I threw out the question to fans of the show before the finale came out, what are you interested in? It was almost all, this person should win and this person should lose, often stated as this person should live and this person should die. It was not these kind of, I want a fuller understanding of whatever.
Nope.
It's who lives and who dies. I think this is the point where we should talk about what actually happens at the end of this show. Because in this finale, and here we go, if you have not seen it, this is your chance.
Spoiler alert!
Grab your stop button, whatever. At the very end of this show, first of all, they made the decision to kill Ruth. Ruth gets shot and, I mean, presumably killed. I mean, nothing in television is certain, but she certainly appears to have been killed. Dead. She's dead, I think. Killed by Javi's mother because she has killed Javi.
Camilla,
who is taking over the drug cartel. And Camilla has found out that Ruth killed Javi in revenge for Javi killing Wyatt. So Camilla goes, she and Ruth stand in Ruth's driveway. And eventually Ruth is like, well, just get on with it. And so Camilla kills her. So Ruth is gone. I want you to tell me how you interpreted the very, very end of this show. Because what happens is after they sort of realize that they have turned over Ruth, Marty and Wendy are very, very terribly sad, I guess. And they go home. And when they are home, they find their house has been broken into. And the PI, who has been kind of tracking them, is there. And he confronts them about, essentially, he has figured out that they killed Ben, Wendy's brother. So the PI confronts them outside their house on their little, I don't know, in their little backyard. Mm-hmm. And tells them, like, you're not going to get away with this. I'm all over this. Then describe to me as you understand it what happens.
Right. So, you know, he sort of implies they can prove forensically what happened to Ben and that he was killed by Wendy's machinations. And then the son shows up holding a shotgun. And the scene fades to black and you hear a shotgun blast. So it's implied that he kills the private investigator. And it's implied that, you know, because the son was the outlier. He didn't have a problem with the criminal things that they were doing, but he had a problem with Wendy killing his beloved uncle and, by extension, the killing in general that has gone on around the family. So to have him commit a murder to safeguard the family means he's back in the fold. And to me, it's the message is that, you know, the family is together. It's always been about this family sticking together. So first, it was a callback to The Sopranos because the screen goes black before you know really what's going to happen. And then you just hear something. But they don't tell you exactly what happened, but you're supposed to infer what happened. The other thing to me is like, there's been a lot of comparisons to Breaking Bad with this show because it's about a family breaking bad as opposed to a person breaking bad. But with Breaking Bad, Walter White's criminality was corrosive to his family. And ultimately, when he got to the end of his journey, he had to admit that that corrosiveness had killed his family. And the only reason he pursued the criminality was because he enjoyed the power that came from it. And he had been telling himself the whole time that he was doing it to safeguard his family because he had cancer and he wanted to make sure they were okay. But all of that was nonsense. He was doing it because it felt good and it validated him as a person. Now we have a situation where the family gets to the end of their journey and they wind up on top. And in fact, all of this criminality has brought them together. It's fused them together in a way that they'll never be torn apart. And they get to win. So in a weird way, the ultimate message of the show, I think, fits with the tenor of the times, which is that, you know, you can be a criminal psychopath. And as long as you're crafty enough about it and you keep your family close, you can win, which is a weird message. But that seems to be the message of the show.
This is exactly why I wanted to do it this way, because my take on that ending was that it is intentionally unclear who he shoots when he brings the gun outside, because they show Jonah, the son, he cocks the shotgun. There's a close up of his face and he closes his eyes. And then you don't see again what happens to the gun, where it's pointed, what he does. He certainly appears to be about to shoot the PI. I think that's, to me, that's like maybe the 60-40 implication of what he does. But given how deeply they have built this idea of he is so estranged from his mother and so angry about the killing of Ben, and given how kind of, to me, not believable it was that they kind of glossed over that by Wendy being like having this conversation with her kids where she's like, I'm really sorry and it was my fault and I take responsibility. And then Jonah's like, okay. And then he comes home and now he's ready to kill for them, because that doesn't make sense. To me, it's intentionally this kind of like the lady or the tiger, like, does he shoot the PI or does he shoot probably his mother? And then what happens, among other things? Like, I mean, I think your read of the finale is a perfectly valid read of the finale, right? But I also feel like they are intentionally leaving it where it's like, I don't know, you can decide what you think happened. And I hate that. With this show, I hate that. I do respect the ambiguity of a show like The Sopranos. The Sopranos was never who lives and who dies. It was never that kind of show in the eyes of its creator.
Sure.
This show was that. So the kind of refusal to commit to what happens at the end, I found infuriating.
Well, my only reaction to that, well, I have a couple reactions. Number one, the finale felt a bit rushed. They made a bunch of things happen in very short order. So I think trying to attach logic to a plot point in Ozark is almost futile.
Yeah.
Because it's all about trying to get characters from point A to point B to point C, and they almost don't care, especially at this point, whether it makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, one minute, Ruth hates the birds so much that she's willing to set up a situation where the cartel will kill all of them. Mm-hmm. And then the next minute, it feels like the next minute, it's 20 minutes later.
Right.
She's joking with Marty.
And it's the same thing with Wendy at the beginning of this run of episodes. Wendy is willing to essentially tell people that Ruth is looking for Javi, which they know will result in the cartel killing Ruth.
Right.
But by the end, you're supposed to believe that Wendy is having this like very boohoo moment about the fact that Ruth died.
About the fact that Camilla's going to kill her. Yeah.
Yes. It makes no sense.
So none of this stuff really makes sense. But in terms of the logic of the show, everybody in the family had resigned themselves to being together and working together to save each other, which I think was the point of, you know, they had this car accident that we see happen earlier in the series. It's one of those flashback things. You see the accident happen, and then a bunch of stuff happens, a bunch of episodes happen. And then it's in the final episode, right?
Yes.
We see the car accident again, and we see the aftermath. And the aftermath is that Wendy is the most injured person, and they all work together to save her, right? So I think the messaging on the show from that point on is that the kids and Marty are on board with being a family.
Yeah.
You don't get any indication that anybody in the family is hesitating. They're all committed to each other by that point. And shooting her wouldn't make any sense. If he really wanted her to go down, then he would just hold the gun on his parents, call the cops, let the PI tell them what happened, and she goes down.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
So it doesn't feel to me like that's what happened.
I will say your read of the car accident is also much more generous than mine. To me, I read that as like, what a fake out. You know, you show a giant car accident that looks like somebody's probably seriously hurt, and then it turns out nobody's seriously hurt, and they all just kind of go to a party.
Right.
I mean,
because it wasn't like it was a fake out that played out like within the episode even.
No.
Like, why spend that much energy sort of faking us out about what happened to this family?
That's why I think it's a fake out. And the other thing that I do want to talk about, which I will grant you, you can justify this, I think, within the structure of the show in the ways that you have talked about. But to me, killing Ruth in this kind of, to me, not very interesting way right at the end of the show just felt kind of mean and bleak for mean and bleak's sake. And I absolutely grant this is very personal to what I particularly wanted to see happen. And the fact that I realized at some point that I would not have forgiven Breaking Bad if they had killed Jesse at the very end of that show. And I knew that as I watched that finale. This is essentially Breaking Bad if they decided to kill Jesse at the end of the show. I would not have wanted that. And I can't really articulate why, except that it just makes the show mean or
I mean, how many people have been killed on this show?
Well, and I get what you're saying. And it's like, for some reason, it just turns the show to me into like nihilism in this way that I don't think is particularly interesting. And I'm curious how you reacted to that, because I was just bummed about that.
I sort of felt like they had to have a big death.
Yeah.
And if they weren't going to kill anybody in the family, then Ruth had to go.
Yeah.
And it felt like the ultimate message was nobody's safe except the family.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was interesting to me, too, about Ozark is that when you set up a structure where so little makes sense, I totally understand, your frustration with the ending, because I feel like the show has already shown us that it will do all kinds of illogical stuff that doesn't make sense just to move the plot forward. That's why it makes it hard to really know what happened in that moment, because there's no internal logic to the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, one minute people will be mortal enemies and the next minute they're joking. And, you know, one minute they're at each other's throats and the next minute they're doing favors for each other that are deadly. I mean, you know, one minute Ruth considers the birds like her mortal enemy. And then the next minute she's in a hotel room holding a gun on Wendy's father and threatening him in order to keep the kids from leaving with him and leaving Wendy and Marty. So there's all these twists that they super compress so they don't make sense. They don't have time to give the characters a journey where they can get from emotional point A to emotional point B, and you can understand why they've changed how they thought about these situations. They have to make it happen quick because it's all about getting these characters into position so that you can have the finale. So I can understand why that ending would be frustrating, because the internal logic of the show has broken down and you have no idea, really. It could be anything.
Yeah.
He could have shot Marty. You know?
Totally.
We don't.
Totally.
So I think that's this huge problem for the show. Like, as the show got more popular and gained more velocity and they had more story to tell, I think that was a growing problem. It started from the very beginning, but it got much worse in the later seasons. The other problem I have with the show, frankly, is diversity related.
Uh-huh.
By the time we've reached the end of the story, there are no black characters on the show. And the only characters of color are, you know, these Mexican cartel people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this trope that's developing in high quality series of the young, smart, psychopathic cartel leader. There's a character, yes, like that in Better Call Saul, too. And they're magnetic to watch, but they're also a stereotype and they're also a trope. And I'm kind of sick of them.
And this is yet another thing this show has in common with Breaking Bad,
yeah,
which I think it has always seemed completely derivative, but
yes,
this is also a problem that show had.
Yeah, yeah. And so because the show isn't that realistic, even the argument that, hey, we're showing different kinds of white people doesn't really hold sway, because you don't really get an authentic look at what it's like to be poor and white in that area, because the minute the story gets going, it's all about these people laundering drug money and doing all this crazy stuff. And,
right,
you know, so I have a real problem with the lack of diversity on the show and the fact that the black characters were so often disposable,
mm-hmm,
and just kind of afterthoughts, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to not like about Ozark, most definitely.
Yeah. It surprised me how angry I was about this finale, because I didn't think the show was that good, so I would not have thought I was very invested in what happened. But it turned out I was invested enough that I expected to be given an ending. You know, as we've been talking about, and, you know, I don't mean to belabor this, but, you know, if you end it with Jonah shoots the PI and then you sort of see the family working together to dispose of the body or whatever,
right,
that to me does all the work that you're talking about without this weird sense of like, maybe it's a trick. And this is where I come down to the question that I think has become sadly unavoidable, which is there any chance that this is a hedge because they want to pick this show up again in 5 years or 10 years? And they want to basically be able to say any number of things about what happened in that moment, and they don't want to put themselves in a corner. So they want to leave open, like, well, if we want to come back in 5 years, it can turn out that Jonah killed his mother, or mm-hmm, it can turn out that someone, the ambulance arrived and rescued Ruth. I mean, I can't imagine anybody wanting to watch a season of this without Julia Garner,
right,
in it.
Right.
The problem is all of these hedged endings and all of these revival seasons put you in a position where even if that's nowhere in anybody's mind, it puts you in that position of being like, am I being messed with? Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. Well, what's funny about this to me is that I feel like we're being messed with for a totally different reason, which is that Netflix is at the point now where it realizes that the way it releases episodes of its shows are really hurting the service's attempt to retain subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, the binge-watching model was unique when they debuted it, but now it's to the point where a whole season of a show comes out, people talk about it for a week, and that's it.
Yeah.
So now what they did with Ozark is they split the final season up into two batches of episodes. So at least people are talking about it in two different points in the calendar.
Which hilariously also Breaking Bad.
Exactly. Exactly. And so now, you know, I think the ambiguity of the ending was partially about just having people talk about the show more than maybe they would have if they had actually resolved it.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like the kind of show that you can really revive. Now, maybe they might try to do something like the folks at Breaking Bad did with Better Call Saul and take one of the characters that we find compelling and tell another story with him. But they killed Ruth, and that would have been the character to do that with.
Yeah, I'm not watching Marty or Wendy ever again, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is.
If I were going to bump somebody off in the finale of the show, I would have bumped off Marty, I'll tell you right now. Marty got everybody into this mess. If you're going to take somebody off that list of unkillable characters, why not Marty? I ask you. I hated it, Eric. I hated it so much. It bothered me so much. I was so angry. I was so angry. And I am so glad that you were here to talk me through it because...
I don't think I pulled you off the ledge, but I tried.
No. But I think it has helped me crystallize my objections, make them more clear in my own mind. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we do want to know what you think about Ozark. Eric and I both have feelings.
This feels like a therapy session. We need to have, it's true. Let's have a big therapy session for everybody.
It's true. Every finale. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Eric Deggans, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
There really was. One last thing before we go. For an upcoming episode, we want to know who your favorite American Idol contestants of all time are. You can vote now at npr.org/American Idol. Again, vote for your favorite.
Jennifer Hudson.
And you can vote again for your favorite American Idol contestants who might or may not be
Jennifer Hudson
at npr.org/American Idol. Again, npr.org/American Idol. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. This episode was produced by Anna Isaacs and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello, Come In provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about Grace and Frankie.